All right, so we're back on the air. We were just talking about the difficulties of hitting a submarine, or attempting to hit a submarine with the
I shouldn't be unkind, because corvettes did hit submarines with their guns. Oakville comes to mind. Assiniboine had a fight with a submarine that went on for quite a certain time on the surface. Plus, she was a destroyer, but the same problems were there. Mm-hmm. But there's no question in my mind that the depth charges at that time of life were our main armament. Mm-hmm. We got better things later on, like hedgehog mortars and stuff.
So you also mentioned damage control drills.
Yeah.
I imagine that must have been difficult in some senses to simulate something like a collision or a breach in the hull for the purposes of training. How would you go about that?
Well, you just, somebody would run up to the bridge and say, after that last collision with the submarine, we're making water in the lower forecastle deck or something. And they'd call away the four damage control who'd run down there with lumber and hammocks and all that sort of stuff and pretend to plug the hole. Mm-hmm. The trick was, that everybody knew what their job was, knew where it was, and knew what they had to do. Like some people were required to get the lumber, some people were required to fight the fires, and specific jobs, you know, they were either on the nozzles or they were on the control valves and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, upon completing one of these workups, did you feel that you really prepared these crews for the real Atlantic War?
Well, certainly as best we could. Certainly, we didn't let them go until we were satisfied that they knew what they were supposed to do and could do it. Whether in practice, with a ship tossing around in the middle of the night in a howling gale, down by the head, they could do it is another matter altogether. But they knew what they had to do, and they knew how they should do it, if it was possible to do.
Mm-hmm. How long, on average, would these workups take?
Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say that the corvettes had very few watertight bulkheads, so the damage control was fairly basic. Mm-hmm. Fairly basic.
So, on average, how long do these workups take?
About 3 weeks, I think, mm-hmm. as I remember.
But there was some variation depending on how well they...
Oh, yeah, depending, you know, some ships were well prepared, some ships were well ahead. By the first time, the engineer, whoever the damage control was organized by. Mm-hmm. And I don't... In a way, I'm sorry you should zero in on damage control because, or on workups, because when I had my own command, I was sent down to Summers Island in Bermuda to do the workup, and I was told to do my own workup, and I failed.
Oh, really?
the ship was kept an extra week, yeah.
So you were performing the workup on your own ship.
Yeah.
And so did you in effect fail yourself, or how did that work?
No, we failed because the Austrian charge of the workup team came, you know, we had a proper examination at the end of the workup. And by the commanders and stuff. mm-hmm. and all his experts, and he came aboard and decided that we weren't good enough.
Was it anything? Was it some one area in particular which he thought you guys were lacking in?
No, I can't remember. I know I chuckled about it. Yeah, I was bloody annoyed about it at the time, but still.
I see that, because you've been doing workups for how long? Probably about 6 months.
I did about 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, it cost me command. It cost me 6 months in command.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I wasn't given a choice. I was told I was going to be a workup officer. And the story was that they took the top few guys, depending on how many they needed, to go and do the workups, and then paid them off by giving them a new ship as opposed to an older one.
So the Guelph was a new ship then?
No, she had commissioned her.
So how...
There she is up there. Well, one with all the planes on.
Oh, the top there?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that fresh from commissioning?
That was 3 days after commissioning. That was in Toronto Harbor.
Ah. So after those 5 or 6 months doing the workups, you were putting command of the Guelph. When you first arrived, it was still under construction?
Yeah, she was just being finished off. Being fitted. She was launched and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then up in Collingwood, Ontario.
And what kind of equipment did you have aboard?
Well, all the newest stuff there was. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We had a gyro compass and a hedgehog. And hedgehog was in a head throwing weapon. Part of the problem with depth charges was that when you fired your depth charge off and it exploded, you couldn't hear a damn thing in the water because of all the roach and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you lost contact with the submarine.
Right.
And in that short period, very often submarine could get away either by diving very deep or getting below the level of the water layer. Temperature layer.
And so,
with the head throwing thing, you could fire it, and he didn't even know it was coming. And if it didn't hit anything, it didn't explode. So you could stay in contact. You know, the water conditions stayed the same.
Mm. I've heard some mixed reviews of hedgehog, but do you think it was a pretty effective weapon?
Well, it sank a few submarines, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that. What the hell are they call it? Big mortars.
Oh, squid?
Squid. Squid was probably more effective.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever serve on a ship with squid?
After the war, yeah.
After the war.
That ship there had a squid.
Crescent?
Yeah, no. Saginaw.
Saginaw. So you had Hedgehog aboard Guelph. What about your Aztec and radar sets? Were they up to date?
Oh, yeah. They were the best. You know, they were what was available. What best were available at the time.
Mm-hmm. And so what about the crew you were initially assigned? Were they experienced or were they pretty green?
In Guelph, they were, well, I would have said about 50% of them had been to sea before, which is quite high at that point. That was 1944.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought that certainly the more senior people were experienced, you know, the petty officers and stuff.
So, I guess this question sort of applies to like all the ships you served upon. What kind of operational training did you undertake? Did you ever train with friendly submarines?
Oh yeah, well when they were available. There was a submarine attached, or I guess over the years, more than one occasion. But at one point when I was in Newfoundland, in St. John, we had a week to wait for a next passage or next group or something, or just finishing up a lot of green or something. There was some reason we weren't on ops.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a submarine in the area. So we went around Bonavista Bay to Harbor Grace and practiced some simple AS exercises with him until we ran ashore. And that used to happen periodically. It happened more, I think, in Halifax than it did in other spots. And of course, when we were doing workups, we had a live submarine.
Was there always a submarine present for workups?
Pretty much. You took your turn. You couldn't have all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. But most ships would at least get a couple of chances to
work. And there's a whole series of exercises laid down in sequence that you did, to practice various types of maneuvers, if that's the right word.
Well, I've sort of run the well dry as far as my questions about training and things like that go, but is there anything else in that regard you'd like to mention or pass along?
Not that I can think of at the moment. I turn off the machine.
So, as you probably know, there's been a bit of a... There have been historical debates over the effectiveness of the RCN during the Second World War. Do you think the RCN's received a fair treatment from historians?
No, I think that I'm of the group that think that we were not treated fairly when it came to equipment.
Mm-hmm.
This is a well-known pitch that we had almost since the war
mm-hmm.
ended, but. And I didn't appreciate it at the time. That's,
so you were at the time aware of the disparity in equipment?
No, that's the point. I did not appreciate it at the time.
Ah.
It wasn't until long after the war, really, that I even realized that there'd been a sort of an argument between the Admiralty and Ottawa, the Naval Board in Ottawa, to get us more gear. We used to complain that we needed a better recorder, an ASW or AS recorder, and a better depth charges and so on. So it was a blow to me to find out, well, to most of us, to find out that you had to practically put a depth charge in the conning tower of a submarine and let it explode before it did any damage to it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that if, as long as they went off in the general area, it would damage it not so.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a hard lesson to know.
But you didn't learn that until much later.
Well, there wasn't much you could do about it anyway,
Mm-hmm.
Even if we... I think you did learn that about halfway through the war. But there wasn't much you could do about it except try and be more accurate. Get to the submarine dive point quicker than we had, and at 14 knots, there's not much you can do in a slow boat.
So, equipment, is definitely one of the areas that people often focus on when they're talking about the debate on efficiencies.
Yeah,
do you think training played a role as well, or no?
I think the Canadian Navy did as much as they could with the gear they were given. There were variations in that. Some ships were better than others. Really, a lot of it depended on almost all of it depended on individuals. Either the captain was red hot, or chief boatswain's mate was the best in the business, the higher submarine detection rating was excellent, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's no question about it. We were all trying. Sometimes under very difficult circumstances. Mainly weather, no question.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, aside from enemy action, weather was the biggest obstacle you faced?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Very much so. Yeah, days of tossing around, losing the convoy, finding it again, fog, howling gales, rain so hard that you couldn't see through it. But what could you do? You have to keep zigzagging and try and stay in touch. Do what you were told when you were told.
Yeah, just do your best.
Yeah.
Under very difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
With inadequate equipment.
Yeah. There again, I guess we should be careful not to overdo this inadequate equipment stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really know how inadequate it was because we had nothing to compare it with. It wasn't until they started to get escort groups around that were not tied to the convoy. The biggest single problem I always thought was that we could never, if you got a contact on the starboard bow of the convoy, you'd go racing off. They fire a pattern of depth charges. The trick was to drive the submarine down, thinking he was being hunted, and he was. And as long as you could keep him down, he was losing ground when it came to catching up with the convoy. But we could never stay long enough because we were the escorts for the convoy. So you were recalled back to your position in the screen to complete the ASW screen around the convoy. But the escort groups were free. They could come and they could stay with that submarine contact for 3 days if they needed to. And that was, in many cases, how they drove these guys up. You know, they just
wait.
Starving, yeah.
So the addition of those dedicated submarine hunting
groups
was definitely a big boost.
As big as the air cover thing was, I always thought.
Because there is a lot of emphasis on that. People talk about the air cover a lot, but just the fact that ships that had the opportunity to actually hunt them.
Well, there again, you see, the air cover thing did the same thing that we did. That as long as they were around, the submarines had to stay down.
Mm-hmm.
They had to use their batteries as opposed to getting up on the surface and dieseling around the place. And the longer they were on batteries, the further behind the convoy they got. And the trick was to leave them so far behind they'd never catch up.
So that was most of the battle then. But then the addition. What am I trying to say here? So the air cover may have helped to a large degree.
Oh, it did.
Just in terms of defending the convoys, but when it comes to actually hunting the U-boats, those dedicated surface groups were really key.
Yeah, and a lot of submarines were sunk by airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
More so than you would expect. I think the accuracy was pretty damn good. So they could sneak up sun sort of stuff, not be seen until they're in the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Catch the submarine just as he was diving, that sort of stuff. All it took was a bomb fairly close.
So it's really hard to point to any one factor, so it's just a group coordinated effort.
But there's no question that air cover was crucial. As I think were these escort groups, hunting groups, different names, times.
But all the same purpose.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much, Captain Hayes, for speaking to me here today.
You're very well.
Provided some really helpful information, and yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Well, it's been nice meeting you guys, and I hope it all works out and you get good marks.
So do I.